Almighty and ever gracious God, since all of our salvation depends upon your holy word, therefore grant that our hearts may be set free from worldly things, so that we may with all diligence and faith hear your word, rightly understand your gracious will, and in all sincerity live according to the same, to your praise and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, where's my... Oh. Well, being a parent can be a pretty scary, intimidating prospect. You know, suddenly there's this little life form that's just totally and utterly dependent on you. So much of how this baby is going to think about itself, relate to others, relate to God even, is going to come from you, the parent. Your influence will be crucial in terms of their education, in terms of their involvement in society, whether or not they participate in crime, and the kind of parents that they're actually going to turn out to be as well. It's quite intimidating, really, isn't it, when you think about it? It's kind of scary, the amount of influence that you can have over the life of another human being. And what's more, I reckon most of us really don't feel like we're up to the task. In her book, House Rules, the author, J.D. Picoult, has one of her characters say this, and I reckon it's just bang on, that the character says, that is the parents, we're always bluffing. We're pretending that we know best, when most of the time we're really just praying that we won't screw it up too badly. Now, I reckon that quote pretty much nails it. Now, so often parents are just at a loss. Sometimes stuff happens and our kids will do something or say something or tell us something that they're thinking and we're just being knocked for six. They're totally clueless. Now, we might look all wise on the outside and pretend that we know what we're talking about, but on the inside, we're just panicking. And I've only got an 11-year-old, that's my oldest, so I can only imagine what it's like when you've got a 14-year-old or a 16-year-old or even a 20-year-old or more. And, of course, the Christian literature market has really capitalised on this fear of us parents, and it's literally flooded the market with all sorts of stuff that you can read. The other day I typed in parenting into the Coorong website search engine, and there were 1,368 titles came up. It's amazing, isn't it? 1,368 parenting titles available, and that's just the Christian stuff. You could go out into the broader secular market and be literally blown away by all of the advice that's given there. It's more than you could ever hope to process or get your head around. But where do you even begin? Well, I want to suggest that the best place to begin is actually the book of Proverbs. I reckon Proverbs is the best place to begin. And you might know why I'm saying that, given that we've been working through Proverbs sort of over the last month or so. And you remember actually right at the beginning of this series, when we started, we saw that Proverbs is just full of really earthy, practical wisdom. It shows us how to live well in the world. And it also comes to us with all of the authority of our Creator God. So if Proverbs has got anything to say on this whole topic of parenting, we would do very well to listen. And the great thing is that Proverbs actually has heaps to say about it. Proverbs has got a lot to say about parenting. In fact, in some ways, the book is all about parenting because most of it is actually sort of framed in terms of parents teaching their children. So we could look at Proverbs 4, verse 10. It says, listen, my son. You've got the father speaking to the son thing going on. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Or chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight. Again, it's the my son thing. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. And there's heaps and heaps and heaps of others as well, showing that a great deal of the book is all about parents imparting wisdom to their children. It really is framed in this whole way. So it's a great place to start. And what we're going to do is over the next 2 weeks, we're going to take a look at a couple of the really big sort of non-negotiable things that Proverbs teaches us about good, wise Christian parenting. Now, I should mention at this point that one of the great things about Proverbs is that it allows for all sorts of difference of opinion when it comes to parenting. Okay, there's room for lots of different philosophies and techniques. This stuff that Proverbs teaches can actually work out in all sorts of different cultural settings, in all sorts of different countries and cultures around the world. It's funny, I remember a while back there was this sort of Christian parenting book that came out, and it was a bit of a hit. And it gained quite a lot of traction in some circles. And it was just mega detailed. It was really, really detailed in terms of its philosophies and techniques, right down to how you feed your kids, how you put your kids to bed, how you get a baby to sleep. Absolutely every minute detail got kind of covered off with this book. And look, that's okay if it appeals to you. As I said, Proverbs allows for a wide range of parenting techniques. But some of the disciples of this method almost treated it like the Bible, to be honest. And if you didn't do everything the way that the book said, then according to these people, you were basically raising little Satan worshippers, who may as well have been, you know. But that's not how the Bible operates, and it's especially not how Proverbs operates. Lots, as you'll see, is left open. Okay, lots is left open to style and taste and to culture and what works for you. And we need to be really open to that attitude, because I think when you come to parenting, it's one of those sorts of areas in life where people feel judged really quickly, or we can be really judgmental really quickly. So as a community, it's good to be very open and to not say more than what Proverbs teaches. But having said that, there are a couple of things in Proverbs that everyone has got to take on board. Okay, there's a couple of things that do just transcend culture and transcend style and transcend taste, and really everyone needs them if they're to parent well. And that's what we're going to look at over these couple of sermons. And today we're going to look at discipline. And I want to show you that discipline is essential if we are to parent our children well. Okay? Discipline is essential if we're to parent our children well. Write that down. This is the big idea. This is the big thing that we're going to unpack. Hopefully we'll get this buzzing sort of in our gospel communities throughout the week. Discipline is essential if we're to parent our children well. So that's where we're going to go today. Just again, before we go any further, I just want to say one more thing. Actually, I hope this goes without saying anyway. But this sermon is important for everyone in this room. All right? Even those of you that aren't parents don't have children at the moment. Even those of you that are kids, okay, this is important to you. And it's important that you get on board with this for three reasons. Firstly, even if you don't have kids now, you may well one day. Bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? Even if you don't have kids now, you may well have them one day. So you need to learn about parenting. And the more you can learn now, the better it will be when you actually have kids. Okay, so this is a proactive thing here for you if you don't have children now. In addition, if you're not married yet, but you're planning on getting married, and you're planning on having children with the person that you get married to, then this stuff will really help you when it comes to choosing your husband or wife. Okay, it will really help you when it comes to choosing your husband or wife. Remember when we looked at marriage a couple of weeks ago, we saw that the person you choose is just so important, because you're actually not just choosing someone for you. Okay? You're not just choosing someone for you. What you're actually doing when you choose to get married is you're choosing your children's mother or father. Often we forget that. But you're not just choosing someone for you, you're choosing your child's mum or dad. So you want to make sure you know what you're looking for the sake of your own kids, don't you? Now, Mr. Bad Boy might be all fun and moody and exciting to begin with, all right? But you've got to think, what kind of dads are you going to be? What kind of dads are you going to be for your kids? So first thing is that you're going to have kids one day, so it's worth thinking about. Second is it helps you choose who you marry. But finally, even if you don't have kids, your gospel community does. All of our gospel communities do. There are parents who are called to love and support their children, and you're called to love and support those parents. Yeah? So you need to know what it is to be a good, godly Christian parent, because you're going to have to advise them and pastor them and look after them and encourage them. Okay, so this sermon is very much for everyone. If you're planning on just sort of catching up on the sleeping you didn't have this morning because you think our parenting, I'm not a parent, doesn't matter, snap out of it, need to wake up. There's very important stuff for everyone in this room. So let's get into it. And the first thing I want to show you is the importance of discipline. As I said, Proverbs is absolutely adamant that if you are to parent well, then discipline is essential for your children. Let's read some verses. We couldn't possibly look at them all because it's just so full of verses about this, so we'll try and get a taste for it. First of all, chapter 23, verses 13 to 14. Read them with me. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Or Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Proverbs 29:15. The rod of correction imparts wisdom. But a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Or Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Or 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Now, what is absolutely clear in these verses is that key to loving your kids, key to doing what is best for them, key to helping them grow into good, wise, loving, godly human beings and giving them the best chance they could ever have in life is discipline. Now, Proverbs is so clear about that. Look at 13:24 again. He who spares the rod hates his son, it says. But he who loves him is careful to discipline him. So Proverbs sees it as so critical that it says that if you don't discipline, then in effect what you're doing is damaging and hateful. Strong language, isn't it? Strong language. Now, you might think you're loving your kid by letting them off the hook. But actually you're hating them, says Proverbs. And why? Well, let's look at chapter 19, verse 18 again. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. You see, discipline is essential because it's actually a matter of life and death, according to Proverbs. If you withhold it, if you do nothing, then you are actually enabling and allowing them to wallow in self-destructive behaviour. It leads to a life that is not lived well. Okay? You will be allowing your child to grow up into a selfish, unpleasant, antisocial person who no one will like and who will be in constant social and perhaps even legal trouble. It's interesting because it looks like there's a growing appreciation for this in our mainstream culture as well, just in the secular world. It sort of seems to be increasing. Remember all the way back at the beginning of this series, we sort of looked at how all wisdom is actually God's wisdom and how wisdom is stitched into the world that God has made. It's actually there just established in creation. So all sorts of people can actually look around at the world and see that things make sense because God's wisdom is stitched in there? Well, I actually think that's starting to happen a little bit in our modern Western culture. I don't know if you ever watched things like Super Nanny or Dr. Phil, any of those kinds of guys. But they just seem to be constantly on about discipline now, about letting people experience consequences. So, Super Nanny, she's always running around trying to teach kids that their behaviour is unacceptable. You know, she says, that's unacceptable. Now, she's constantly putting on the naughty step and shutting them in their rooms and not letting them leave the table or the rest of it. And Dr. Phil was more with the kids that sort of never seem to grow up. So you'll have this mother there who's beside herself because her 27-year-old won't move out and he won't help around the house and he won't get a job and he just spends all day lying in bed playing video games. And Dr. Phil's pulling out what little bit of hair he's got left and he's saying stuff like, you're loving him by doing that. You're loving him. You're enabling self-destructive behavior patterns. Yeah, it goes on and on. And you might not like all that these guys have got to say. And again, as we've seen, Proverbs is really open to you being flexible and disagreeing with lots of different stuff and lots of different opinions. But on this, they're right. On the need for discipline, they're absolutely bang on. Now, it's hard and it's painful and it's not nice. I hate disciplining my boys. I hate seeing them suffer. It's not pleasant. It's not fun. And we would all rather not. But it is absolutely critical. And really, it's a biblical non-negotiable. The famous Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, if we never have headaches through rebuking our children, we shall have plenty of heartaches when they grow up. Wise words, aren't they? If we never have headaches through rebuking our children, we shall have plenty of heartaches when they grow up. Well, that's the importance of discipline. But the next thing I want to show you is the practice of discipline. What does good biblical discipline look like? What does it look like to properly discipline your children? Well, I think there's a lot of Christians around that would want to read those passages about the rod and say that the Bible absolutely commands physical, corporal sort of punishment. And actually, some would even go so far as to say that you're letting your kids down if you don't hit them in some way. And some of them go a step further and actually try to form a whole sort of set of rules to explain how you exactly do this. And you'd be amazed, but some have even gone so far as to recreate the biblical rod. It's amazing. So some guys over in the US, they put this one on the market. It's called the Rod of Correction. It's a 22-inch nylon whipping stick that's been custom designed for spanking kids. And it will set you back about $5. So there you go. The advertisement reads like this. It says, spoons are for cooking, belts are for holding up pants, hands are for loving, but rods are for chastening. Go ahead. Now, you'll be very pleased to know that I've got me to order a bunch of these in. We're going to be selling a lot of books, so we're flogging them for $5.99, pardon the pun, get it, flogging them. And they make an excellent Father's Day present, so kids, no, just joking. But seriously, I think this approach of wanting to get the actual, the details of how to administer discipline from Proverbs, I think you're sort of fraught with difficulty if that's what you're trying to do. It's just taking things way too far, because the beginning, nowhere is the rod described as a 22-inch nylon whipping stick. In fact, nowhere is the rod described at all in the Bible. The Hebrew word for rod that's used in Proverbs, it's used to describe all sorts of rod-like things, everything from a scepter. It can be an implement used to beat criminals. So I think that's going to be a fair bit more than just a sort of little nylon whipping stick. In fact, in Proverbs, it talks about fools being beaten with rods, so it's used in that sense. It's even used for the shepherding sort of stick, you know, the big thing that you use to guide sheep around. So exactly what Proverbs has in mind when it talks about the rod, we can't pin that down. And Proverbs doesn't seem too fussed about it because it doesn't actually explain that for us either. Okay, it doesn't seem to be too worried about that. You may well spank your kids with a wooden spoon, but that's not a rod. That's not the rod. You might spank them with your hand, but that's not the rod either. So we mustn't, if we do that, think that we're somehow being more biblical than the person that uses the time-out step or whatever, which also isn't the rod, because none of them are. Okay. But Proverbs isn't trying to give us a disciplinary method or a specific tool. What it's doing is it's just using something that its original readers obviously knew all about and understood and saw commonly to make the point that discipline is necessary. That's what it's doing there. So you have to work out what is going to work for your child. Okay, you've got to work that out in terms of method. What is going to be most effective in terms of their specific personality, in terms of their age, the severity of what they've done, how they learn best, what they're able to understand, and so on. So, you know, a sure, sharp smack on the hand might be great for a toddler that keeps wanting to touch the wood heater, but maybe that's not so great for a 14-year-old who's just been lying to you. Yeah? So don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that some sort of physical punishment is necessarily wrong either. Okay? As we've seen, Proverbs gives us the freedom to work that out for ourselves. You absolutely have to work hard at discipline, but exactly what you use, well, there's freedom in that. And I think it would be seriously worth chatting this through in your gospel communities. And just kind of getting different ideas about what people do and how they do stuff. But particularly if you've got people in your GC that have got grown-up children, okay, who have been right through that whole parenting thing and done babies and toddlers and kids and teenagers and even people in early adulthood. But yeah, if you've got people in your GC like that, then it would be, they are goldmine for this sort of thing. Ask them what worked. Ask them what didn't work. Ask them what they might do differently if they had their time again with their kids. You know, avail yourself of people's experience. But I can't stand up here and just sort of mandate a set thing for you because Proverbs just doesn't do that. All I can say is you've got to do it somehow. But even if Proverbs doesn't give us the exact method, it does give us the motivation and goal of discipline. Read Proverbs 23, 13 to 14 with me again. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Now, what you see in that verse there is that in Proverbs, discipline is all about the good of the child. Okay? Discipline is all about the good of the child. It is about giving the child life. It is all about steering the child away from death and trouble and a life badly lived. That's the motivation. It's all about the good of the child. It's not about you venting your anger. And we've got to get this, okay, because I know that kids can make you really angry. Really angry. Okay, and it's the way it works. The people that we love the most make us the most angry and can hurt us in ways that you never dreamed of. And when you get angry, that anger wants to come out, doesn't it? Remember when Marty preached on emotions a few weeks back? It bubbles up and it boils in there and it just wants to come out so bad. And sometimes you just want to punish when you feel that way. They've hurt you. You want to hurt them back. You want them to pay for what they've done for you. And we can lash out when that happens. When you feel that way, it's easy to, like, it's all sorts of hurtful words want to come out. Remember, gosh, it's funny, all these sort of things we've learned in Proverbs are starting to come together, aren't they? But remember when we looked at speaking and just how much damage our words can do. You know, you just want to unleash the tongue and rip them with the tongue, you know, and can really hurt. And in some horrific cases, we can even lash out physically. But that is not good, wise, biblical discipline. That is lack of self-control. That is sin. And when it's done in its extreme, it's child abuse. And we can't tolerate child abuse in this community. If you struggle with physically or verbally abusing your children, then you need to get help. You've got to come and talk to me, or you've got to bring us up with your gospel community leader so that we can get you help, because there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus, there's restoration in the Lord Jesus, there's hope for change in the Lord Jesus, but you cannot go on like you are if you're doing that. You can't have it. Can't have it. You need help. And you can't point to sort of spare the rod, spoil the child type verses to justify it, because in Proverbs, emotions are to be controlled. We saw that. They're to be analysed and thought about. They're not to be acted on straight away. We saw that the other week. In Proverbs, you've got to think very carefully about what you say, and we've seen that already too. And we've just seen that discipline is for the good of your child. It's not for satisfying any urges you might have, or for venting your emotions. It's for one reason and one reason only. And that's the good of your son or daughter. That's what it's for. Incidentally, I think that also really helps us see how proportionate we need to be. Because if you give a spanking and you're leaving massive bruises and broken bones, or if you tell your kid off and you emotionally crush them, it's not good for him, is it? That's not good for your child. So if you are going to use some kind of physical punishment, which as parents, I believe, you're free to do, then you've got to be very careful in making sure that it is good for them. Make sure it's good for them, because discipline is for the good of your son or daughter. It's what it's for. It's what motivates it. The other thing the Proverbs says about good wise discipline is that it teaches wisdom. Look at 29 with me, 29 verse 15. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. This is really why discipline is so good, because it's for teaching your child wisdom. And this is important too, because I think it really helps you see which battles are worth fighting as a parent, okay, and which battles are not. Because the thing is, it is very possible to be too stern and too harsh and too picky with our kids, and it is easy to make it very difficult for them to want to submit to us and respect us. Okay? You know, sometimes we want to force them to do stuff that just suits us better, or it fits with our taste better. And when they resist, then we sort of discipline them. But maybe it's to do with the music they listen to, or the fashion that they're into, or their personality. There's stuff that we don't get. There's stuff that we don't actually really like all that much. Stuff that we really struggle to relate to. But at the end of the day, stuff that really is just kind of a matter of taste and opinion, and actually doesn't matter that much. In Proverbs, discipline isn't about enforcing taste or fashion or music preference or whatever. It's about teaching your son or daughter to be a godly Christian. And I think as Christian parents, we really need to keep the main game, and not worry too much about the stuff that really doesn't matter that much. Okay, now of course, some clothes are just not wise and godly for a young girl to wear, sure. Some music might not be wise and godly for a young boy to listen to. But you need to work very hard at making sure that you have good reasons for using discipline for this stuff, and that it's not just a matter of that you don't like the look of it or the sound of it sort of thing. And I actually think this really taps into what Ephesians 6 verse 4 says. Okay? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the law. Yeah, don't do stuff that's going to annoy them, in other words. Don't exasperate them. If it's really not that important, just drop it. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. But bringing them up and disciplining them in the wisdom of God, man, that is hard enough for crying out loud. That is going to push you to the limits, just doing that much. Just disciplining kids in the really important things in the way of the Lord. So don't go making mountains out of molehills, in other words. Choose the hill you're going to die on. Yeah? Well, these are the things that Proverbs teaches us about the practice of discipline. It doesn't teach us the exact method as such, but boy, does it teach us motivation. It teaches us that it must only be for the good of your child, and it teaches us that it's to teach the wisdom of God, to bring them up in the wisdom and training of the Lord, not to exasperate them. So I've seen the importance of wisdom. We've seen the practice of discipline, so the importance of discipline, and we've seen the practice of discipline. But before we finish, I just want us to spend some time dealing with one more thing, and that's this, and we are nearly there. But I want us to look at the fulfillment of discipline. The fulfillment of discipline. It's entirely possible that you've been sitting here listening, but you're still not sold. You're still not sold on this whole discipline thing. And I've met a lot of people that balk a bit at it because they want to foster a relationship with their kids, but it's actually much more like a friendship. Yeah, they kind of want a friendship. And really, you don't discipline your friends, do you? So if you want to be friends with the kids, well, you don't want to have too much discipline there either. Or maybe it's just that it's way too hard for you, too much hard work. You know, for you to get serious with this and in the way that I've been spelling out, it would just be so much work. You know, maybe you're a single parent, and it's just hard enough getting through the day, let alone having to actually pick up and deal with stuff. It's easier just to let stuff go through with the keeper or pretend you didn't see it or pretend that you didn't hear it or just not worry about it. Or maybe you've got particularly challenging children, and it just takes so much of you if you're to be consistent. It just drains you to the core. Yeah, maybe your kid has some kind of disorder or a disability of some kind, or maybe you're just not sold on the idea full stop. Maybe it just seems too kind of constrained and authoritarian to you, and you just thought, it's not the kind of relationship I want with my kids, thank you very much. There could be all sorts of reasons. But the reality is, if you have a problem with discipline in parenting, then you've got a problem with God's parenting. Okay? If you've got a problem with discipline in parenting, then you have got a problem with the way that God parents. You've actually got to say to God, well, you know what? You're not very good at being a heavenly father, because he uses this whole discipline thing. And I don't agree with it. God uses discipline in a major way when he cares for us. Okay, so through the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus, God has adopted us as his sons and daughters. We've spoken about that in this gathering a lot already. You know, he loves us desperately the way a father loves his children. He cares about us desperately. In fact, he loves you so much. He is so utterly committed to your good and so utterly committed to you learning his good ways that he's willing to discipline you. So you kids might have been sitting there just thinking, oh, great, this is a wonderful sermon from Mum and Dad, but it sucks for me. After all, they don't have to be disciplined. But you're wrong. You're wrong about that. If that's what you're thinking, you're wrong, because Mum and Dad very much get disciplined. We all do. We all get disciplined by our Heavenly Father. We are all the children of the greatest Father ever, and he disciplines us all. Read Hebrews 12 with me. It's Hebrews 12, verses 6 to 11. The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. Well, how much more should we submit to the father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see, discipline is used by the perfect father. Discipline is used by the perfect father. If we choose to ignore it, then really we're saying to him, you know what, you got it wrong. And I hope you noticed there that the way God's disciplining us lines up perfectly with how Proverbs described it. Did you notice that when we read through? Okay, it lines up perfectly. Look at verse 10. It's for our good. Yeah, remember we saw that was, you know, how do you discipline? Well, you do it for the child's good. That's very clear there, isn't it? But God disciplines us for our good. Yeah, he disciplines for our good. Every hardship you go through, God is ultimately in control of, and he is using it for your good. It is so important to get this. Yeah, this is the greatest thing that Reformed theology can offer you, I reckon. The biggest comfort. Because it doesn't matter. What it says is it doesn't matter how bad it seems at the time. Doesn't matter how tough you feel like it is. You can rest absolutely assured that it is not meaningless, that it is not pointless, but that God uses all things for the good of those who love him, Romans 8, verse 28. Yeah? It's for your good. And you've got to embrace that. That's a liberating, comforting theological truth that you've got to hang on to. But note too that it's also that you might be trained and grow and eternally rejoice in his wisdom. Yeah? In the best life you could ever live, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those that have been trained by it. And you know what? When Jesus returns, then all of the disciplining will have reached its fulfillment. And it's going to stop because we will all have the perfect eternal lives promised in the scriptures that we're going to live out according to God's perfect wisdom in all of its fullness. Let's pray. Father, we stand in awe of your fatherly love for us, and we know that as parents we can always look to you as the ultimate parent, the one who parents perfectly. And we thank you that you stop at nothing for our good. Thank you that you are willing to do whatever it takes to make us like Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to learn to rejoice in that discipline that you do to us as you grow us and change us and transform us from sinful, failing, broken people into the likeness of your perfect Son. And Father, we pray that your example and your model of parenthood would be something that we live out ourselves. Father, I pray for every parent in this room. Lord, help us to get good at discipline. Help us to love our kids so much that we're willing to go through the pain and the hardship of it, that we wouldn't just get lazy and let things go through, but that we would be willing to do that work of training and correcting and loving so that they can have great lives that are lived well in accordance with the riches of your word. Help us to know what not to worry about. We know we need wisdom there. And give us the wisdom as to how best to do this. Because quite frankly, sometimes we're just at a loss. We don't know what's going to help. We don't know what we're meant to do. We feel totally at sea. And yet thank you that you're at work in us and that you guide us and that we can look to you. Thank you for this community. And thank you for the many years of parenting wisdom that are represented in this family. Father, help us to be talking to each other and helping one another. Stop us from being judgmental, threatening one another, so that we feel like this is something that we can be open about and helped with. And Lord, we pray all of this because we want to be godly parents. We want to do the right thing. Every kid in this room is just so precious and so valuable. And you love them so much that you sent your son to die for them. And we desperately want every single one of them to turn into godly men and women that love Jesus desperately and want to give their lives to his service. And we know that as parents, we are a critical part in all of that. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.